What to do on a rainy day? We read this title yesterday, and the sun was shining bright and clear, and I said, well, we'll have rain tomorrow. So this morning, as I returned from my walk, the rain came down. So my thought for today was prepared in a very perfect way. What to do on a rainy day? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. On a rainy day, it's the day for not reminiscing. You don't remember the past, because we've learned to let that go. It's not anticipating, thinking of the future. We've learned to let that go. It's not even living in the present. We let that go. It's living in the now. Just being at peace, and we don't want to say at peace, just being peaceful with yourself. Because when you can live in a very peaceful way with yourself, it's wonderful. My sister went to the hospital, and she had some problems, flu or something or other. And when she got to the hospital, she has six kids and six spouses and children, grandchildren by the dozen. And of course, everybody was concerned about Grandma in the hospital. And so Grandma had the phone right next to her bed, and some of the grandchildren and some of the children were not satisfied with just them calling. They had to call all the distant relatives because they wanted to put all the efforts forth to see Mama whole and perfect, and that's wonderful. So, Mama, being a mama, and recognizing that her children and her grandchildren and so forth are beautiful, lovely people who would love to call and say, hi, I love you, bye. She just turned off the telephone. And so the telephone was busy. And my niece told me to call, and I called five or six times. The phone was always busy. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was, toward morning there. And I thought I'd call, and it was still busy. And I thought, my goodness. And so this morning when I talked to her, I said, I tried to get you last night, but your phone was busy. She says, yeah. She says, I made it busy. She says, I wanted to rest. And she says, that's what I felt that I was here for. I said, you sure are. You sure are. Now, Marie was a terribly thoughtless, inconsiderate person for doing that. Or was she? Was Marie living her own life, doing her own thing? Was she being mean or hateful in any way? No, she was just recognizing that she was number one. And so she felt she would like to have a little rest. That's what she came to the hospital for, among other things. Have a little rest and just relax and be served. And not be on the phone with all the children, the grandchildren, and everybody else, and stuff like that. And so then she got me on the phone. And the first thing I did was just to read her the email that I sent around. And hurriedly I read it, and I skipped a lot of stuff that had been sent to me because it wasn't important. And so then I made a few comments. And she said, well, I'm glad you called. Thank you. In other words, goodbye. She says, I'll be home from the hospital soon, and everything's in order. And she talked for a few minutes, but she was ready to hang up too, because it was 9 o'clock their time, and in the morning. And so she was doing on a rainy day what we all should be doing, just being ourselves and having fun, just relaxing, letting go, and not worrying about anything. Not concerning ourselves with what other people are doing in the world, just doing our own thing. And how wonderful that is. And I was thinking, what's my role in all this stuff? What's my role in this total picture? And I thought, well, part of my role, or my role is to just be myself, have fun. Okay, that's understandable. But I write the books, give the lectures, and do the things for the uni. And if anything happens from that point on, it's okay. In the beginning, I proctored and answered the letters and answered the lessons and did the bookkeeping and the billing and did all the things that had to be done. It wasn't a great chore at that time because we didn't have a great volume, but it was demanding. And then now I'm to the point where I have three wonderful people who are able to handle these things and do these things. And so I should just turn them over to them and let them do them. And if they do them, beautiful. If they don't do them,
beautiful.
Now, that's what a rainy day is all about. A rainy day is to remind us to relax and not be disturbed about what's going on. Just relax and be at peace, because it doesn't make any difference. We do what we know we want to do. We do what we can do. We do it and do it well. But we don't feel that we have to be pushed on these things. We just relax. I was thinking of Dorothea Zimmerman, our wonderful octogenarian. And she's a super lady. But she likes to be busy. And so she creates herself stacks and stacks of things around herself to look like she's busy. That tells her she's busy. Now, actually, she's not doing anything with the stuff, because the stuff is just on little piles here and there. And it's been on little piles here and there for months. And it'll be there for months more. And probably at the time that she chooses to go off to another dimension, somebody will come along and whoosh into the wastebasket, and all of those things that were so precious and so important to her, which really weren't, poof, nobody else is going to worry about them. Can we worry about other people's lives? In Eileen's email to me, she says, Uncle Joe died. And I don't know Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe is one of Bill's brothers. Bill had a lot of brothers. And Joe, I heard comments about him that he's a nice guy, sort of a laid-back guy, sort of a listless guy, listless, without interest in anything. And so I said to Marie I said, yeah, sorry to hear Joe decided to go, but I'm sure that he was ready for it. She said, oh, he was. He was so bored with living. See, he was 80 around there, too. He's so bored with living. He just had nothing that interested him, nothing. He had just got his coat on, and he was going to go out and take a walk. But he sat down first to read the paper and put his head down and died. And what a cool way to go, you know. No problems, but he was just bored with living. Nothing in life gave him any excitement. Now, how many of us are like that, with nothing in life giving us any excitement? I'm sure there were some things that he paid attention to a little more than others, but nothing really gave him any excitement. Now, what is supposed to give us excitement? What's supposed to give us excitement is just the idea that we can think, and the idea that we can have fun, be ourselves, the idea that we can just talk to people without having to say anything. I mean, who says that you have to say something when you talk to somebody? You can just talk nothing and just be conversational. Oh, how's the weather today? You know, what's the stock market doing today? You know, have you heard any good stories lately? That's nothing. That's nothing. But that's good. That's what most of life is made up of. Nothing. Now, that's the sort of thing that makes you feel bored with life. That's the sort of thing that makes you feel life's not worth living and let's cut out, you know. And as Jonathan Livingston Siegel said, learn nothing in this life and the next will be just like it. Empty, meaningless. We are to be ourselves. Now, we're supposed to have fun. Now, what does it mean to be ourselves? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Now, you think you know what it means to be yourself. You think it means to be your physical self, your human self. And of course, that's silly, because everybody is their physical human self. They can't get away from that, you know, at the moment. And you want to be your divine self. Now, what's your divine self? Oh, that's untouchable, unreachable, you know. Okay. Now, so we've dispensed with that. How about having fun? Oh, it's sacrilegious to have fun. You shouldn't have fun because someone died that day. You shouldn't have fun because someone's in pain and sorrow somewhere. You shouldn't have, anywhere in the world these situations exist. You should have fun because you are a fun person. Now, what does a fun person do? A fun person takes a stone, preferably a flat stone, and holds it in their hand, and then skims it across the water. Now that nice flat stone is lost. It's kaputch down into the water.
Find another one.
And then you pick up another one, and you spin it across. Until after a while, you get it so it can skip 3, 7, 12, 15 times. And you think to yourself, boy, I'm good. Good at what? Nothing. Dumb stuff. Stupid. That's fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, that's the point. It does not have to have meaning to it that touches someone's life or your life. It's just, hey, I'm going for my personal best. 16 skips next time. And whoosh, it goes on in. You can do it. You can do it. In our show, Everlasting,
Tuck
Everlasting, the young man who had already lived for 104 years, more than what life was, he was in the bar playing poker with some guys. And he's not a cheat, because a cheat is someone who does something illegal. But a shark or a genius is somebody who knows the cards and just has played with them so much and so much and so much. He just knows every trick of the trade, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Of how to do things without cheating. And he demonstrated that in the card game. And the one man said to him, you know, you're a cheat. And he said, that's kind of strong. Well, I'd say I'm a card shark, you know, which in itself was quite a comment to make too, because that's not a compliment. Because a card shark is somebody people don't want to play with, because they win, and they always win, because they know their game. They know it well. Well, he's just having fun being, well now, could he be hurt? Could he be hurt if somebody beat him up or shot him? Mm-hmm. No. So he says, are you looking for trouble? He says, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because a little excitement in his humdrum life of being invincible. You see, when you arrive at that point in your life, when you're invincible, when you arrive at that point in your life when you know who you really are, you won't be a card shark. And the reason you won't be a card shark is you don't need the mundane to entertain you. You don't need somebody to beat up on you to give you a thrill, you know. You don't need that. You are beyond that. What you would experience would be things that we cannot describe here, because they're bliss. They're a state of consciousness that you experience on a rainy day when you are just relaxed and at peace. There's no way to go out and do anything, putting in brick or working on the concrete or building a house out in the rain. Well, some people do certain things in the rain, but so you do something different. So you change. You take your plans and you revitalize them. You know what a good thing to do is on a rainy day?
Put them
out. Walk in the rain. Just put on your rain outfit or go naked and walk in the rain. And it is so wonderful. Up here, we're at 3,500 feet, and the rain that's coming down is close to 4,000 or 5,000 feet, which means snow. And so we're just a thousand or 2 feet below the snow line. And so if you walk naked out there in that, you would get a little bit cool, but only until you stopped thinking about coolness and warmness. And then you would just be enjoying yourself. What do you do on a rainy day? You be yourself and have fun. What do you do on a non-rainy day? You be yourself and have fun. What do you do all the days of your life? Just be yourself and have fun. So, if anybody ever says to you, what do you do on a rainy day? You say, be yourself and have fun. So I say to you on this lovely rainy day here in Southern California, which is really not too, doesn't happen too often, be yourself and have fun. And I love you very much.
Thank you.